the word coming alongside and strengthening and building up and encouraging and exhorting in the word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We're looking at a mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, mother and grandmother to Timothy, faithful servant of God. Now, indeed, these examples, none of them are perfect. The only perfect example that we have of the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. Amen? But that doesn't leave us off the hook to aspire, to desire, to become more and more like Jesus. And so we see in the lives of these two women and see how it was generationally a blessing into the life of Timothy, who later became a pastor in the church there in Ephesus. But I want to take, if you will, just a few minutes. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see a number of things about these ladies and how God used them in a godly influence in the life of Timothy in a very wonderful way. And so we see the fruit of their lives and their labors of love in the life of Timothy. We can draw from that, can't we? We can extract some biblical principles as God wants us to do. And so one of the biblical principles we have is to see their sincere faith. Take a look at verses 5 through 7, their sincere faith. Verses 5 through 7 of chapter 1. And that's on page 1178. If you happen to be using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1178. Paul, of course, as he's writing to Timothy, who is now a pastor in the church there in Ephesus, he wanted to tell him how much he was just rejoicing for what God was doing in Timothy's life. But Paul realized, too, that the work of God's grace and the gospel in Timothy's life was not done in a vacuum. It never is done in a vacuum. It was done in the context of a family. It was done in the relationship of a mother and grandmother. And so this is good. This encourages all as parents, okay? And so Paul goes on to, after he reminds him how he remembers him with tears and joy and then prays for him. Pick it up at verse 5, chapter 1. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. He's speaking of Timothy's. But notice what he said. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And that's true for every one of us, beloved. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have a spirit of fear, but notice indeed, a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Amen? Yeah. So one of the things we see in this godly example of a mother and grandmother that had such a godly influence in the life of Timothy is their sincere faith. Sincere in the sense of, if you will, authentic, unhypocritical, something that was genuine, a sincere faith. A sincere faith like James talks about. A sincere faith that is represented in character and conduct. Not just say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but a life that really demonstrates that authentic faith by character development, transformation, and conduct. We obviously, it was occurring in the life of this family, if you will, the family life there with Timothy and his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. We don't know much about, in fact, we know very little about Timothy's dad. He was a Greek, and most likely not a believer. And it may very well be that Timothy's dad died. And so it could very well be that he had a single mom there with her mom, Lois. And having the Lord work through their lives. One of the first things that Paul reminds Timothy was of their sincere faith, their authentic faith, something that would stand the test. And certainly a sincere faith, beloved, we can see has a powerful influence in the lives of others. Most immediate in the life of our children. And that's a good thing, isn't it? And of course, a sincere faith that has, if you will, an influence in the lives of others too. A powerful influence that the sincere faith can have. How would you see that? How would you see that authentic faith, that if you will, an unhypocritical faith, that which is genuine? I think we'd see, certainly without a doubt, the evidence of their love for the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy, very quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 178. But Deuteronomy 6, both Eunice and Lois were Jewesses. They believe in the Lord God, Jehovah. They believe in the Word of God, and we'll see that later as we look at another point. But in Deuteronomy, are you there? Well, let me catch up to you, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we have the Shema. Hear, O Israel. And the word to hear in the Hebrew is Shema. But it's also the understanding when God says hear, it's hear and obey. Not just hear, but hear and obey. Hear and follow through what God has instructed. And so here's an instruction, if you will, for families. And I believe without a doubt, because of what Paul says later on, about the sincere faith and the impact of that faith in the life of Timothy, that Eunice and Lois, they knew the Shema. They just didn't know it in their head, but they knew it in their heart. And they lived the Shema. Hebrews chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You see, a sincere and authentic faith has that love for God that encompasses everything about us. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he goes on to say, these commands will I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now we'll come back to that passage. So go ahead and put a little bookmark there, if you will, in that place there. Okay, and I'll do the same. And so a sincere faith. Their sincere faith was most likely, I don't doubt it, that it was evidence in their love for the Lord God. But also as evidence in their love for God's word. And well, again, we'll see that later on. Because tying in that aspect of their sincere faith and their love for the word of God, we can see how influential that was. The word of God in their life became the word of God in Timothy's life. Great example. But also a great exhortation for all of us as parents. Amen? Yeah. And so also I think another aspect, if you will, of a sincere faith, an authentic faith. That which is genuine is not just said as a profession of faith, but a possession of new life in Jesus Christ. An authentic faith is also a life of prayer. Moms and dads should be praying for their sons and daughters. And grandmas and grandpas should be praying for their grandsons and granddaughters. Amen? You'd agree with that, won't you? Yeah. And so an authentic faith, a genuine faith that they had was certainly knowing the powerful influence of God's word and the power of God through prayer. You see, it's never the power of prayer. People get that wrong when they say, oh, I believe in the power of prayer. I don't. But I do believe in the power of God through prayer. There's a profound difference. There's a profound difference. And I believe Eunice and Lois, they believe in the power of God through prayer. Let's go on, though. There's another aspect, if you will, of their influence and their example for us today. And not just as moms and grandmoms, but there's something else, too. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you're looking in your pew Bible, it's page 1179. And we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 through 17. Are you there? Okay. I don't mean are you out there. I know you are. Are you there in the Word of God? Okay, great. Verse 14. Follow with me as I pick it up at verse 14 in chapter 3. Again, 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. The word learned comes up twice. That's very important. And have become convinced of, because you know these from whom you have learned it. Now, who were they talking about? Paul wasn't talking about himself here. Because what we see later on, let's see, and how from infancy, Paul was around Timothy's life in infancy. It was later on when he became a young man that Paul came to meet there in Derbe, Timothy, as a young believer. And so he says, from infancy you have known Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now take a look at verse 16 and 17. Are you there? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. That's why it's so important, beloved. As we heard, the great work that God is doing in translating His Word into mother tongue languages of various people groups. And yet there's so many more. It's so important that they hear the Word of God in their heart's language so it can have that transforming effect. Everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Yeah. And so that we see that reality of God's Word and His power, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. Something we see here, without a doubt, is Lois and Eunice's focus on the Scriptures. Their focus on the Scriptures. That's important. You know why it's important? Because God says it's important. And whatever God says for us, and He defines what is important, it should be important to us. You would agree with that, wouldn't you? Turn back with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is why it was so important for Eunice and Lois. And they realized it was so important, not just for them as Jewish, but it was important for their son Timothy, for his life and salvation. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Follow with me as I pick this up, if you will. Let's see, we left off at verse 7. Impress them upon your children. He's talking about the commands of God, the law of God, the Torah, the instructions of God. What he's talking about, beloved, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Scriptures that are inspired by God, that can transform a life by the work of the Holy Spirit together with the Scriptures. Take a look at verse 7. Follow with me, please. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Can't you just see Eunice and Lois doing that exactly with Timothy? They did that. That's exactly what Paul said. What you have learned because you have been taught. And remember those who taught you. But also, most importantly, remember the Scriptures that they taught you. Motherhood is a high calling. It's a high calling blessed and gifted by God. And in that high calling that God has given to parents, but especially for mothers today, don't neglect the Word of God in your life and the lives of your children. Be a Eunice and Lois. Be a Shema woman. Amen? Yeah. And then he goes on to say about how the Word of God should just permeate the whole house. Except the Lord build the house, those who labor in vain. How should you build a house? Build it firmly on the foundation of Christ and His Word. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? And say to your neighbor next door, I agree with that. Amen. Turn back with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we see that they not only realized that it was necessary for Timothy's salvation through faith in the living God, who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that same living God, that same Son, wants every one of us to be saved. And maybe you had a mom, maybe you had a grandmom, I don't know, who shared the gospel, and you could not only hear the gospel in word, but you saw the gospel in their lives. You need to praise God and thank God for that. And Timothy did. Timothy did. He had a mom named Eunice and a grandmom named Lois, who had a sincere faith, authentic and genuine, who focus on the Scriptures in the raising of Timothy in that household. They not only believe that it was essentially for at least the salvation, as Paul says here, it makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Very clear, in the path of the way of salvation. It doesn't lead us to many paths like people are saying around us, if you will, outside the body of Christ. Well, there are many paths to God. Baloney! There's only one path to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, you know that. I know that. And you'll never be deceived. But, beloved, make sure our sons and daughters are never deceived. Make sure they know that there is only one path, there's only one way of salvation, and that's through by grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so they had, indeed, also an awareness that God's powerful word was not only necessary for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, but it was also necessary for the transformation of Timothy's character and life. And that's what we have in verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, all Scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching. It's profitable. It's profitable for teaching. That's instructing, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What he's talking about is a transformation of character that leads to a transformation of our conduct. Isn't that beautiful? You see, it's an inside job, isn't it? And don't you want to have an inside job in the lives of your sons and daughters, your grandsons and granddaughters? And you know, that inside job done by the Holy Spirit with the agency of God's Word, transformation. And they also, turn with me, there's one other aspect of their example and a great exhortation for us today, and we see it, and we heard about it today. in the lives of the Brubakers, of Ray and Merle. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 1096, and you'll be way ahead of the others who are using their own Bible. Okay. Chapter 16 of Acts. Let me catch up with you. Chapter 16 of Acts. 2 points so far. As an exhortation, as an example for us, Eunice and Lois gave an example in their lives of a sincere faith, that which was authentic and genuine. They focused on the scriptures, and they transferred that knowledge of the scriptures into the life of their son and grandson, Timothy. But there's something else extremely important. I thank the Lord, because when Ray and Merrill shared with us what their sons and daughter with their spouses are doing, I said, Ray, please include that in the morning's message and presentation to the field. There's a generational blessing here that God wants to see in all of our lives. It begins in the home. It begins in the home where mom and dad have a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where mom and dad are focused daily in the Word of God. And they're living the Word of God. They're living the gospel before their children. With a hope and prayer and expectation by the grace of God that their sons and daughters will come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Say amen to your next door neighbor. Amen. Yeah. In other words, we're in agreement with what God has said, what God has done, what God has purposed. But there's something else that we can see in the life of Timothy that's just a natural, well, I shouldn't even say natural, I should say the supernatural, but it's natural for a Christian family. Now, what is that? That our kids would also have that sincere faith, would also have that same focus in the Lord, but have a heart's desire and passion to serve. Acts chapter 16. Just a couple of verses here, verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 16. And he meaning Paul was with Silas, a member of his team. And they came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy, that's the same Timothy that he's writing to, 1st and 2nd Timothy, whose mother was who? Eunice. And whose grandmother was? And what did they have? What kind of faith? A sincere faith, an authentic faith. And what was their focus on? The Word of God or Scriptures, right? Okay, take a look here. And Timothy lived with his, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. That's why I would say, you know, we don't know a whole lot. That's all it says about his dad. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, speaking well of Timothy, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area. You see, Timothy grew up in a mixed household, apparently. A Jewish mother who believed in the Lord God Jehovah, who believed in the scriptures, and probably a Greek man who was a heathen. And you know that happens. That's not God's design. That's not God's plan. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, young people, be sure you pray about that covenant relationship with your spouse that will be a born-again person. You have no right before God. Let me be very clear about this. You have no right before God as a born-again believer being involved in a relationship with an unbelieving gal or a fellow. Okay. A relationship that is going on to engagement and to marriage. That's what I mean. I mean, we have a lot of relationships. Okay. That needs to be said. Chapter 16, here we see that they also were willing to release Timothy for service. To release him. I think they did that with great joy. I think they did that with their prayers. I think they did that with their blessings. They saw God working in Timothy's life. And they saw an opportunity that God was opening the door for Timothy to serve the living God. Amen? Well, let me ask you this, beloved. I know it's Mother's Day, but we also have a mission moment today, a very good moment, more than a moment, too. Moms and dads, grandparents, You have a sincere faith. You have been focusing on the scriptures with your children and your grandchildren. Are you willing to release them for God's service? Now you may be sitting there saying, Bill, well, of course, isn't that what Christians do? Not all professing Christians, moms and dads, are willing to do that. And to show the sincerity that you are willing, let me ask you today, are you praying them into service? You see, that's kind of the proof of the pudding, isn't it? It's easy to say, oh, sure, I'll release them. But are we praying for our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters for the service of the Lord? As I say, it's an example for all of us, but certainly for moms. I see such a clear illustration in God's Word in the lives of three people: Eunice, Lois, and Timothy, as examples for us as parents. May God be pleased that we have sincere faith, authentic, genuine. May God be pleased as we focus on the scripture within our homes, within our families. May God be pleased that every one of us, that God has blessed with children, that we're willing to pray and say, Lord, use my children for your kingdom. Use my children for your glory. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Father, for the gospel of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that indeed within the home we see such a great, fertile environment for the gospel to be lived and spoken. Oh, Father, we pray for the salvation of our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters. Oh, Lord, help us to be like the example of Eunice and Lois, with sincere faith, with a focus on your word, with a willingness and a passion and prayer to release our children into your service. We ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I know you're wondering, well, what about this? Are you having next week? Okay? Next week, as we look at a Proverbs woman.